I got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Here we go.
Nah, you can bring it up full, Brady. I could talk for a few seconds. Because this is one of two musical ways that we remind you that it is a Friday. All right, I got a lot to get to in the final hour of our broadcast week. We're coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio. Welcome! Before I get to all our big lead stuff, I saw a video that a coach put up just a couple days ago. He's a high school football coach down in California, Coach Hines. And he posted a video about a player who quit the team. And to my amazement, this has generated tremendous controversy with people almost evenly divided on if what this coach is saying is good or bad. And that blows my mind because, well, I'll tell you after you listen to it. I won't skew your thinking, but here's what a high school football coach in California posted 2 days ago.
I just had a young man come in and quit, and I couldn't be happier. I truly could not be happier. This young man was struggling all season with making it to practice, with committing, never looked happy. Some stuff going on, but I couldn't be happier because he came in, things washed, shook my hand. I said, sit down for a minute. And he started to explain, his family's always been a football family. They've always loved it. My father and my brother. And I stopped him. I said, do you love it? He looked at me and he just breathed this deepest sigh of relief and said, no. I said, I'm proud of you. And I just saw his whole countenance change. He just smiled from ear to ear. So you're doing the right thing. Football is not for everyone. Couldn't be happier. Coaches, support your players if they want to be great. And if they want to be great in something other than football, support them just the same. Take what's worth. Stay strong.
Okay, so there are a bunch of people who are saying that's a horrible thing for a coach to say. How happy he is that a player quit and that he actually tried to encourage the player to quit. That's a loving thing to do. And I will tell you, there are so many kids, not an overwhelming number, but every year, if you coach high school sports, there's a kid who turns out not because they love the sport, but because their mom or dad wants them to play. And I certainly had a few of those kids. And they're miserable at practice. They, if they don't show up at practice, then, that's intolerable for a coach if you run a tight program. And it is so freeing for the kids to tell them what their mom and dad will not. And sometimes moms and dads push kids into doing things that the kids don't love and enjoy. And that's not a loving thing to do. So a loving coach sat down with this kid and said, do something else. If you don't love this, don't come out here every day for 2 hours. And, what coaches demand of kids and what teammates demand of kids, it's taxing. And if you don't even enjoy it, why would anybody spend part of their life on something they don't enjoy? So I thought the criticism of this coach was absolutely insane because parents should not force their kids. I think there are some times where it's okay, and I'll give you an example. Piano lessons for my girls, or our girls, when they were younger. None of them loved it right off the bat. Actually, my oldest kind of did. And my oldest, has gone on to become a beautiful classical pianist. But our middle daughters kind of liked it. It stuck with it for a few years. Our youngest didn't like it at all. And we didn't force them to keep going to piano. But I think it's okay for a couple of years to make sure, because I hated piano lessons and I love playing the piano now. And I wish I'd learned more. I wish I'd taken advantage of this, literally a gift, because my mom didn't have any money. So There was a wonderful piano teacher who just gave me free lessons, and I didn't appreciate it, and I didn't practice, and nobody should spend their time on things they don't love.
What about start or like finish what you start and not be a quitter?
If you start it for the wrong reasons, then you're just dragging everybody down, including yourself. And yes, I believe that if you start something because you have a passion for it, and let's say you start and you get tired of losing and you still love the game, but you hate losing, so then you're going to just quit. That's a lousy thing to do to yourself and to your teammates and to your coaches. But if you get into something because mom and dad want you to, I do not think a kid should have any, and I'm talking about high school kids now, I don't think a kid should have any obligation to finish what they start if they get pushed into something that mom and dad are doing for their own personal ego or gratification. And there are a lot of parents like that who push their kids into things because mom and dad miss it when they were kids. So
I mean, not to play devil's advocate, but there are some that do that so that they don't get into trouble after school or so that they're occupied or, you know, but I guess maybe find a job or find something else you're interested in.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just life's too short and there's enough teen angst without having to drag yourself and get banged around. You know, tough football practice is a pretty good team, and get banged around physically for 2 hours and don't have the mental game to stay with it. You'll just get messed up. So I'm all for this coach. I don't think there's any problem with what he did. Okay, let's see. Oh, with that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is the big lead.
All right. I got an email from a listener, and this kind of illustrates the point that we were talking about in the last segment, where they've built a second story on a Winnebago with 2x4s and plywood, undoubtedly all stolen, and it's sitting on 8th Avenue in Ballard, right next to a lane of traffic. So if this thing blows off the roof onto traffic, some car could, you know, get hit with it, somebody could swerve and be killed, and nobody's doing anything. City of Seattle just lets homeless, vagrant, drug addicts do whatever they want. And I got an email from a listener, great tipster. He's provided some wonderful tips over the years, listener Joe. And by the way, Joe, I appreciate how you addressed your email. Dear Bellwether and North Star of Freedom. Yeah, I'll take that. You might get some fodder from the Seattle Parks Department pulp on renting a picnic bench or one of the camp stove shelters at Lower Woodland. Here you can find the city requiring Boy Scout troops to get two. This is so great. If a Boy Scout troop wants to use one of the camp stove shelters, they have to get $2 million in insurance. They have to pay $150 to use this taxpayer-owned land, and of course, no booze allowed and no drugs. So that's the demand of the City Parks Department if you or I want to rent a shelter or a picnic bench or anything. Now, if you go to any of these parks, there are vagrant drug addicts who are camped out, who have taken over all of these shelters. They don't have I don't believe they paid the $150. I don't believe that they are abiding by the no booze and no drugs regulation. So why? Why do we have two sets of rules? Why do I have to get a permit if I want to build a big shed in my backyard, but the people in the Winnebago can put up a ramshackle piece of junk second story on a shed? Why is it that people who are taxpayers have to pay the city $150 to get a shelter, but vagrant drug addicts are camped out in most of the shelters? In fact, if you go to the picnic site reservations, we are currently not accepting applications for shelters or tables at Lower Woodland, Meridian Playground, Ravenna, Pratt, Rocks Hill, or Gasworks Park. Now, why is that? Well, because many of those parks, maybe even most of them, are overcome with the drug vagrants. So you have to do an online application for a picnic bench. You have to complete an online special equipment form that shows the insurance requirements. And it is true. You need $2 million. Where a minimum coverage limits of liability are $1 million each occurrence. General commercial liability insurance, including host liability. Evidence of insurance. You got to show the city of Seattle that the city has been named as an additional insured for primary and non-contributory limits. A copy of the actual additional insured policy or endorsement wording must be attached to the certificate. This is insane! So taxpayers who are paying a fortune to the parks, we want to use our own parks. We got permit, insurance fees, drug vagrants. It's all yours. Take it. The other people paid for it. Two sets of rules. And as I said, if Nicole, I want to abolish all crime in Seattle, gets in as city attorney, then it's over. Then it's absolutely over. Seattle will become the most crime-riddled city in the country. Maybe with Minneapolis also near the top, given that they are moving forward with trying to abolish their police department in Minneapolis. Murders are way up in Minneapolis because they've cut the police so much, and now they want to eliminate the police. So I think that's a really solid move. We're on the right track here in Seattle. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Well, the story that is being ignored by almost everybody in the media is that today, right now, this moment, as we speak, could I hammer the timeliness anymore? We have an absolute crisis at our southern border. 200,000 illegals have come across the border each of the last couple of months, 1 million since Joe Biden became president, on pace for 2 million illegals coming into this country. And Fox News is one of the only organizations covering this, and they had a drone that they've had down on the border for a long, long time. And the drone just shows the mass of people. And right now, I don't know about right now, but as of last night, about 10,000 Haitian illegal migrants are getting into the United States. 10,000. But the number has just exploded. And why? Well, because the Biden administration decided to cancel returning the migrants to Haiti. They had flights. They were just sending them back to where they came from. But the Biden administration canceled that. And so then for the migrants who were already at the border, they started texting and calling their relatives. I don't know how they're getting across the ocean, the sea, the Caribbean, from Haiti to Mexico. But then they're coming up to the border, and there are 10,000 coming into the United States. So what was the Biden administration's response to this? Let's ban the news drones from showing the pictures. It wasn't let's fix the problem. Because Joe Biden is the most disastrous president in history when it comes to fixing any problems. And I really mean that. He is definitely pointed in that direction. But instead of fixing the problem, they just said, well, let's ban the news from covering it, and then people won't see how big the problem is. So then some of the local law enforcement were outraged that the FAA is saying news drones can't show the extent of the problem. So the local law enforcement, they took the Fox correspondent. He's really good. This guy named Bill Malugin. He's been camped out on the border for months, but he's a really great reporter. And so local law enforcement took him up in their helicopter this morning, since the FAA was grounding their drones, and this is what he saw.
Guys, what's bizarre is what we're looking at is like some of these people are just going back and walking into Mexico and then coming back into the U.S. They're just going back and forth. And what we've been told is some of them are going back into Mexico and buying food at like supermarkets out there or buying food at you know fast food places and then bringing it back into the United States. So they're free to come and go even though this is an international border between supposedly two sovereign countries. But neither side is really patrolling where You know, you see them crossing. It's remarkable to see. I mean, out of all the border coverage we've done all summer, I think this is the most remarkably stunning thing we've seen so far in terms of how bad this problem is. And again, it was just a few months ago when VP Kamala Harris visited El Paso, which is nowhere near this location, and she declared that extreme progress was being made here at the border. This is, we've now had 2 months in a row of more than 200,000 encounters at our southern border, 20-year record highs, more than 1 million people this year already. Something's got to change pretty quick, guys, because this is unsustainable for these poor agents on the ground who got to deal with this.
Well, it's unsustainable for the United States of America, too, because if we don't have a border, we don't have a country. And also, we can't take care of our veterans. And you know, you talk about our homeless population. A lot of those people are veterans with PTSD, and you know, they're not all drug vagrants. A lot of them are veterans who we can't take care of. We can't provide the services that they need. But we're going to allow 2 million illegal aliens into this country. They don't speak the language, most of them, so they are not economically viable. They're going to be put in taxpayer-provided housing. Their kids are going to be put in taxpayer-provided schools. The kids cost the schools dramatically more than kids who can speak English, because they have to provide all kinds of ELL or ESL accommodations for the kids. They will get food stamps. They will get welfare. They will get free medical care. If you go to an emergency room and you see that emergency rooms are being used as just primary care providers for an awful lot of people who are in this country illegally. And that's one reason, one of many reasons, why our health care costs are as expensive as they are. We can't keep doing this. It will bankrupt our nation, and Joe Biden and the Democrats are actively enabling this because they think that in 8 years they're going to get a path to citizenship and have a permanent welfare voting class so that they can impose full-fledged socialism in the country. But you know, allowing people just to walk across the border is a disaster. In Afghanistan, in case you missed the breaking news just last hour, the Pentagon has admitted that a military drone that they said was targeting ISIS-K, it actually killed 10 innocent people, 3 aid workers and 7 children. Joe Biden's administration just blew up 10 innocent civilians, including 7 children, because Joe Biden orchestrated pulling our military out of Afghanistan before pulling out all of the American citizens. And that led to 13 U.S. soldiers being blown up. Joe Biden doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's saying. And the people who are controlling him are radicals who are hell-bent on destroying this country. And there's really no other way. You look at Afghanistan, you look at killing these children over there, you look at our southern border, there is no other way, no logical way to look at this. And if you are still holding on by your fingernails trying to support Biden still, just think about that drone that killed 7 children and 10 innocent people, include all aid workers, and tell me how you can still support somebody who orchestrated a military pullout that is one of the greatest disasters, foreign policy disasters, in our nation's history. Unbelievable. All right, that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
So sad. So very sad. All right, we're going to check the news for you. And then more on King County's most stringent vax mandate. You're going to have to show proof of vaccination. And we'll have latest on that. A little bit of fallout now as the Dory Monson Show continues. Tired of this at 2:30 on Fridays. Nicole, what do you think? 10 years from now, when I'm still doing this show, do you think we'll still be playing Dead Mouse at 2:30 on Fridays?
Yes,
or will I have
do.
Moved? Really? You don't think I'll have moved on?
No, you're a creature of habit.
Yeah, I really am. All right. Final half hour of our broadcast. We got a lot of stuff flying into us here. So, as you know, we pride ourselves on being watchdogs of government. And one place that we've particularly been watchdogging the last few years is the executives in the King County Sheriff's Office. And I always stress it's the executives because the deputies, the detectives, they are fantastic. And I feel bad that they've had to work for Mitzi Jo Hanknik, who my sources have told me is just not competent at her job. And Mitzi Jo Hanknik, she hired a former TV reporter named Liz Rocha to be her chief of staff. And Mitzi's predecessor, Urquhart, had a chief of staff who made $140,000 a year. Well, Mitzi and Liz Rocha were old friends. And so all of a sudden, the chief of staff got paid $180,000 a year under Mitzi. But I've been getting all these tips that nobody has seen Liz Rocha for a couple of years, and you know that there might be some fighting between her and the sheriff, who they were best buddies, and maybe lawsuits coming. And this is hilarious. And this is from one of my very, very good tipsters who has just told me today the very latest on all of this. And there's some stuff in here that I haven't independently verified, so I can't share all of it with you. But what he said is, as these possible lawsuits are getting ramped up between the executives in the King County Sheriff's Office, that Liz Rocha said she was going to contact her old media friends to find out who was talking to Dory Monson and giving him information. Oh, man. And, you know, as we confirmed, because I had heard a rumor way back when that Mitzi Jo Hanknik, who, you know, lied to me about being open and transparent and always willing to come on the show, and she never came on again because we asked one tough question of her. But we had heard this rumor that Mitzi actually ordered people in her office to never mention my name in her presence. And when I talked to the King County Police Officers Guild president a couple of months ago, he actually confirmed that. Nobody is allowed to say my name in the presence of Mitzi Jo Hanknik and Liz Rocha, which is one of the most, and I've been told that by very, very good sources. That's one of the craziest things I've ever heard.
I've been in meetings where that's been said in her office with our monthly meetings with the guild that she has. And there were some, you were talking and she wasn't happy about it. But yes, it's true. I can say I've heard that firsthand. Your name will not be mentioned in her office.
So that was my confirmation of that. And now another source today, different source, says that they're going to try to find out who's been giving our show information that has been so revealing about how horrible the management, the executive branch of King County Sheriff's Office has been. So we, and for all of our sources, we will forever protect you. You are golden with us. Also, one other piece of news that's coming in. So this whole Nicki Minaj thing, I'd stayed away from it because I sound particularly unhip when I try talking about Nicki Minaj. But a few days ago, she said that it was like, do you remember what the relationship was, Nicole? It's like her cousin's fiance.
No. It was her cousin's friend who was getting married, but the wedding got called off because he got the vax and had a bad reaction.
Yes, he according to Nicki Minaj, he got enlarged testicles from the vaccination. But
you know what?
So it was the cousin's.
She didn't really love you. She didn't really love you. Don't marry that girl anyway.
Well, I don't know. Is it a temporary malady or is it permanent?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You don't know yet. But if she's willing to leave you just the thought of it, get out.
And if it's permanent, you can just, you know, use them as a speed bag.
Right.
No, never mind. No, forget it. Forget that. Scratch that. So it was her cousin's friend's fiance.
Oh, well, it's her cousin's friend that had the reaction.
Right.
He was married. His fiance left him.
What? Well, he wasn't married if he had a fiance.
I mean, sorry, he was engaged.
Right. Okay, yes. All right, so anyway, she said that's why she just thinks everybody should do their own research about the vaccine. And so then Tucker Carlson picked up on this and said, you know, it's really brave to have somebody who's in showbiz when, you know, 99% of showbiz is just, you know, carrying the water for everything we're being told. And Tucker Carlson said it was brave because she's, Nicki Minaj had something like 120 million Twitter followers. It's just crazy. So here's what Tucker Carlson said about it.
Oh, he's fine. It's Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's testicles who are swollen from taking the vax. That's the claim. But it's not anything to do with the physical effect of the vaccine that makes our political class mad. It's the last part of Nicki Minaj's tweet that enrages them. The part where she says you should pray on it, make the decision yourself like a free human being, and, quote, don't be bullied. So our media and public health officials didn't like this because they make their livings bullying people. So they couldn't let it stand.
Okay, so her message was just do your own research, which is a good piece of advice. You know, like I said, I did my research and I got the vaccine. I didn't have a problem with that. But there's been a total meltdown of the left, or a leftdown, to abbreviate. Leftists have truly lost their minds, according to Minaj's replies. Her mentions, because she posted a video clip of Tucker Carlson, and that sent the left into a complete, utter meltdown. They're warning Nicki Minaj now that she is tweeting a white supremacist, that she should never trust a Republican. And one user responded, no, 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 she did not just post this video, not bleeping Carlson. This is not the look, babes. You are making things so much worse. So, yeah, step out of line and you will get hammered down. And so anybody who's strong enough to stand up to the hammering, the attempted hammering down, good for you. Okay, quick time out.
Sorry. Yep. I just wanted to comment from the 425, and I have not verified this information, but the 425 says, my son got testicle problems after he got the vaccine as well, and then said temporarily.
No, I don't.
Anyway,
it was their son, but they haven't it was their son, but they haven't verified it.
Well, this person doesn't say they haven't verified it. I said I haven't verified this.
Oh, you have.
Obviously.
Haven't. Oh, I thought you said the texter hadn't verified it.
No, the texter is claiming to have a son going through the same problem had went through the same problem.
Officially, the official position of the Dory Monson Show is we have no idea if the shot causes that. I
tried to stay very professional during that.
I know it. Okay.
Blew it.
Awesome audio of the week coming up next. Oh, and we have a solid batch of awesome audio, so I can't waste any time here. Let's get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
This goes all the way back to Monday because over the last weekend, of course, was the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Joe Biden, he's starting to get a lot of blowback because people see what a disaster he is. When he was at the 9/11 memorial, he got booed and heckled.
Boo! 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 You're a mutt for what you did to Afghanistan. Terrible! Terrible!
Don't sniff
them. Terrible.
Don't sniff
them. He was walking by some girls, and one guy goes, don't sniff them. And then when Biden had a press conference with the British Prime Minister on a big screen to his left and the Aussie Prime Minister on a big screen to his right, he could remember only one of the names.
Thank you. Over to you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Boris. And I want to thank that fellow down under. Thank you very much, pal. Appreciate it, Mr. Prime Minister.
His earpiece must have, I swear, his earpiece must have fallen out where people feed him lines, but he's supposed to say. By the way, the Aussie Prime Minister is Scott Morrison. And the folks at Babylon Bee, they've had a very good week. People asked me to replay this one. They said that they have a brand new ad from Apple for the new version iPhone.
We are proud to present to you today iPhone 13. This phone has everything. You can make phone calls. There is a camera. And best of all, the phone will only unlock if you show your vaccination card. Are you vaccinated? Yes? Then you can unlock the joys of iPhone 13. No? Then go find yourself a rotary phone and a Polaroid camera, you filthy mutant. You have never experienced a phone this advanced. It has a calculator with both addition and, coming in an update early next year, subtraction. But best of all, it will call the police if it even begins to suspect that you are not vaccinated. Watch this. Hey Siri, what's the capital of Wyoming?
Are you vaccinated?
But why do you need to know that? I just want to know what the capital of Wyoming is.
Sensing vaccine hesitancy. Calling the authorities.
But wait, Siri. I'm vaccinated.
The capital of Wyoming is Cheyenne.
iPhone 13 truly has everything. Apps, a camera. I did already mention that, but a camera. But there's one more thing. When you hold iPhone 13... it will secretly administer a dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine straight into your hand without your knowledge or consent. Oops, did I just say that out loud? I don't care, because I'm a billionaire, and we're Apple, and resistance is futile. What are you going to do? Not buy an iPhone? Give me a break. So here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the vaccinated, the rebels, the vaccinated, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, and the vaccinated. To those who think differently, except those who think they don't need to get vaccinated. We are Apple, and you will get vaccinated.
Oh, the Babylon Bee. In fact, they had a good week, because as we were going through all our favorite soundbites, on a different day, the Babylon Bee posted this. It's an update to the old Abbott and Costello, who's on first, but it's updated for the new pronouns that we have to use for everybody these days.
Thanks for stepping into umpire, Mr. Fletcher.
Well, I'm an English teacher, not a phys ed teacher, but I'll do my best.
You'll do fine. Just call the kids safe or out, and keep an eye on them right there. They've been trying to steal.
Who, him?
No, we use the kids' preferred pronouns. He's on second. I mean them.
There's only one kid there. Who's them?
They are.
He is?
No, they is. He's on second.
You mean her?
Don't call me her. I'm a him.
That's a he. The kid on third uses she.
He uses she?
No, she uses she.
And you want me to keep my eye on them?
Yes.
But especially him.
No, keep your eye on them. They've been trying to steal.
Who's they? Him, her, and him?
No, not him and her. Just them. Their pronoun is there. And they're right there.
I'm an English teacher. I get pronouns. That's him, her, and him.
No, that's them, him, and her.
Excuse me, but now I identify as him.
He's gender fluid. He used to be she, but now she's him.
Huh?
And I'd like to change my pronouns to Z, Zim, and Zer.
Now Z wants you to call Zer Zim.
What's a Zim?
Don't call Zim a what? Now Z is offended.
Look, I don't want to offend anybody. I'll call them by their names. Kids, what are your names?
I'm Addison.
Their parents are millennials. They named them all Addison.
Well, why do I have to use preferred pronouns?
Because gender is a social construct, and I was born this way.
How can he be born that way if gender is a social construct?
Whoa. Don't question their identity, or his, or Zer's. Just follow the rules and call them they.
Who makes these rules?
They do.
This they?
No, not that they. They.
Huh?
They will get you fired if you don't use the right pronoun. They will kick you off of Twitter if you question their beliefs. They cancel comedians and offend them. They get rid of professors with different points of view.
But who's they?
Nobody knows who they are. We just have to listen to them.
All right. I hope he learned a lot from that. We provided it to be instructional. All right. That's our awesome audio of the week, and that's going to do it for us this week. Fantastic job by you once again providing us with so many exclusives, all your great tips. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Tom and Curly Show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. Have a great weekend, and we will see you back here Monday. High noon.